You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports
with Jim Daniels
on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day.
And now,
it's Jim Daniels.
Good morning, and thanks for making us a part of your Sports Sunday. We surely appreciate it. It's NBC Sports Radio, NBCSportsRadio.com. The mobile app is yours free at the App Store. This is Speaking of Sports, where we like to push aside the box score and take a closer look at some of the individuals and stories that are making headlines in the world of sport. The program is brought to you by Bank of America this morning. Want cash back at Costco, Sam's Club, and BJ's today? Use your Bank of America card, cash rewards, Visa credit card, and earn 2% cash back at wholesale clubs. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Again, Jim Daniels with you, and the program is yours a lot of different ways. Obviously, live on hundreds of affiliate stations across the country. You can get us on Sirius Satellite Radio, Armed Forces Radio Network. You can have the podcast delivered right to your doggone email inbox if that's what you want. We'll hook you up with that. Audio Boom takes care of that stuff for us. And go to NBCSportsRadio.com for other ways to grab what we've got for you. This morning, the Texans are acknowledging that DeAndre Hopkins is officially a holdout, saying, quote, "We are disappointed DeAndre has elected not to report to training camp with the rest of his teammates." That's the general manager, Rick Smith, who I guess is speaking for Mr. McNair. And the fact that, they're pretty much acting like they've got their arms folded with this whole thing. Hopkins is not really asking for anything more than what the team just did for J.J. Watt. Signed a 4-year rookie deal. After 2 years, he was so spectacular, they tore it up the last 2 years into the trash can and made him a new deal. DeAndre Hopkins looking for the exact same thing at the exact same time. 4-year deal, 2 years in, absolutely killing it. Time to tear this thing up and make a new one. He's subject to a $40,000 per day fine, partial forfeiture of his signing bonus. That's a loss of $445,000, and eventually the loss of a year of credit for free agency if he were to sit out the year or most of the year. I don't expect that to happen. I think this is a dynamic player, and he realizes that, and the best way for him to get the next job is to perform well at this job. Usually I'm on the side of the team that says, look, you signed a deal to be here with us for 4 years at this amount of money, and now because you're great, you want more money. How often do you see a player come back and say, I absolutely sucked out loud this year, so let me just go ahead and give you $1.2 million back. That's kind of what I figure. I wasn't very good this year. Here, take some money back. When's the last time you heard that story? Here, let me help you. Never. So why is it that, and this is the only place it happens is the sports world where these guys tear it up. However, I have to say, with the very same team setting a precedent with J.J. Watt, why wouldn't you do the same thing? That's what they just did for him. I want you to do for me what you did for him. They need to do the right thing, and they need to do it quick. Adrian Peterson is in the news this morning, and it's because of a hamstring problem. Vikings coach Mike Zimmer says, look at this as a precaution. It's no big deal. We're just being careful. But someone that is on the wrong side of 30, that's a running back in the NFL, you always wonder about their health and, how hard is it going to be to bounce back and actually be ready, be the player that you have been in the past. He has been a freak of nature when it comes to repairing damage, healing his body. But, the older you get, the harder that gets. And I tell you what, from at least fantasy football perspective, it's a great big red flag. Maybe a smaller red flag if you're just a Vikings fan because you're a ways from him seeing some meaningful carries. But nonetheless, Adrian Peterson with a hamstring problem here very early in camp. Tyler Eifert has said that he's absolutely not going back to the Pro Bowl. Quote, it's just not worth it. He had a minor injury, what was said to be a minor injury that led to surgery and left him on the PUP list for now, and uncertain if he's really going to be able to be ready for the season opener. He told reporters on Friday that he's never going to go to a Pro Bowl again, even if he's invited. Not going back. I suppose what you do is you go ahead and accept and you go and you get your room in Hawaii and say, Oh, my ankle. I think I twisted my ankle. Maybe that's the way you go. Don't you want that trip to Hawaii? This bad news for Raider fans. I don't know. He wasn't going to play for a while, if at all, anyway. But the suspended Raider linebacker, Aldon Smith, has checked himself into an undisclosed rehab treatment center. TMZ has got that report. They usually do. The report comes just days after Alden Smith denied that he had posted a video of himself and another person smoking a hand-rolled substance. I love the way the media is. Hand-rolled substance in italics. Like you're supposed to say, a hand-rolled substance. It's like when we saw the video or the photos of Johnny Manziel rolling up a dollar bill in a Las Vegas bathroom. What's he doing in there? I'm not going to rip on the television media once again, but nonetheless, Alden Smith back in the news again and for the wrong reason. Now, he's suspended for a year last November, so yeah, last November. So I think maybe the end of the season is where he might make a comeback, but looking tougher and tougher for Alden Smith, especially if it's true that he's smoking blunts on video. I mean, look, do what you're going to do, all right? Do your thing. But keep it off of Instagram. I mean, that is if you want a job. Other than that, knock yourself out. Josh Gordon and Deion Jordan both are encouraging signs for anybody that breaks the NFL laws because they've been let back in. Josh Gordon seems like they really should have let him back in sooner than this, in my opinion. But nonetheless, he's back. Browns are saying clean slate, and hopefully he'll be able to perform. This guy was amazing in his rookie season. Hope we can see more. Do you think we could go a week without a Johnny Manziel story? Anybody? Show of hands? No, you're right, we can't. And the reason why is because this time Johnny Manziel emerged from a club. Now, this is, I believe he said on July 1st, July 1st, I'm going sober, getting on the wagon. So this whole month, he's supposedly on the wagon. Well, he came out of the club and got behind the wheel of a car. Maybe he's a designated driver now for he and his crew. Nonetheless, he said he was celebrating the return of Josh Gordon. You can hear reporters asking him questions. One of them is, are you coming back to the NFL? And he said, absolutely, returning to the NFL, and that he'll play for the Cowboys. Who do you want to play for, Johnny? The Cowboys, he says. I think that may be news to the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, Jerry Jones, I mean, honestly, would you be surprised? Would you? Would you? Not really, right? I mean, a little bit? Okay, a little bit. Coming up next, we're going to talk to the professor later on in the program. We have the opportunity to talk to a couple of coaches, a couple of guys that knew Dennis Green. We lost a great, great man in the National Football League here just a few days ago, a little over a week ago. And Herman Edwards, Marvin Lewis, both going to speak to that and many more things here this morning as we're speaking of sports on NBC Sports Radio and NBC Sports Radio's mobile app. Non-stop game, that's what you want. We bring it to you at NBC Sports Radio, NBCSportsRadio.com. The mobile app is yours, free at the App Store. Show is brought to you by Grainger, the products and services you need when you need them. Grainger's got your back to help keep your facility running. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Here's a guy that gets it done. Let me tell you, he puts out the Horo Sports Brief every week and then usually hops on a plane and takes off to some exotic locale. Don't know what that will be today. I hope it's not Baltus Rawl, where you'd be quite soggy, Professor. Where do we find you this morning?
Jupiter, Florida. A little bit of tennis, a little bit of racquetball, a little bit of British Open on television from the women's side, then a little bit of men's watching the electrical storms and everybody killing time. It is a wonderful day.
We're looking at a Monday finish, aren't we?
Maybe. Maybe a Tuesday finish.
No.
It is possible. You know, it was interesting because Kerry Haig, who is a great fellow and a guy at the PGA of America, uh-huh. They got a great staff. And he said something on Thursday saying, boy, we were lucky. Storms all around us. We got through it. Well, the gods don't like that. You don't say that after one day. You may say that after 4 days.
No.
So, when you look at the radar, it's like, I'm not sure, and I know this is a lot different. People getting up on the West Coast, you know, not even seeing the sun yet, but they're not going to see the sun in Jersey. They're starting. If you look at the radar, it's going to look great. And there are a lot of algorithms now. It is interesting. One of these days, we're going to talk a little bit about how they really do crank out exactly the start times and finish times from television, who says what, and how they devolved it. But this is a classic case of doing this on the fly, and it'll be on the fly. The only good thing about this date maybe is about $80 to $90 million, Jim, of economic impact for Jersey for a 6-day event and a 4-day tournament. Now we've got probably an 8-day event and a 6-day tournament, so you spread it out a little bit.
Well, do they really lose any money in this? Maybe some merchandise dollars, but everything else really pretty much in place. The weather is not going to really hurt the till at the end of the day, is it?
Well, yesterday, you know, they stopped the event to 11, so everybody who was there was there. I'm not sure about the ticket policy for yesterday. My sense is that they don't give a refund after, you know, you could be there for 8 hours if you wanted to be.
Right.
So, and today people are there, and so they'll figure out some discount or free for Monday or Tuesday. Those people buy merchandise. And of course, people in hotels, you don't get refunds.
Right.
So the restaurants and hotels, they'll get the benefit of an extra 2 days.
Speaking of losing money, the NBA has officially pulled the plug on Charlotte now. The league announced plans to relocate the 2017 All-Star Game. Looks like it's going to New Orleans, and they say that they hope to be able to reschedule the All-Star Game in Charlotte for 2019. This is due to the state's controversial LGBT law, a.k.a. the bathroom bill. How much money is that going to cost the city of Charlotte?
Maybe $80 to $100 million or even more. And also the loss of one of the first big sports businesses to pull the plug. There have been a lot of conventions that have been doing that on a regular basis over the last couple of months. So ACC Commissioner Josh Swafford told ESPN that the ACC Championship is still going to be held at Bank of America Stadium, but not so sure. A lot of events still have to cross the threshold. And when you play chicken with a league, it's not a good thing. You remember a few years ago, Phoenix had the Super Bowl yanked because of Martin Luther King's holiday and the Arizona government refusing to celebrate it. They had it back, but they'll never gain the event they originally lost, just like Charlotte will never get back the 2017 economic windfall that they would have had.
Now moving to the NFL, has got a couple of things that they want to try during the preseason this year. One of them is narrowing the goalposts. I think we're all okay with that. That's not a big change to the game, but computer chips inserted into the kicking balls used during preseason. We've heard a lot about chips in going into the footballs. What are they hoping to measure with these computer chips in footballs?
Well, it's interesting. The first thing they want to measure is the ability to keep narrowing the goalposts. And what happens? They're going to have a readout of every kick, extra point, field goal, and whether it was center, how it would have made it or missed it if they had the narrow goalpost, and make a decision on how narrow the goalposts really ought to be. But then you open up some interesting possibilities. Those field goals that go right over the top of the bar, are they good? Are they not good? Do you go to replay and do you use the chips? And they're not ready for it yet. But how about first downs? The dreaded first down marker gone, maybe? The change gone? Is that possible? Even if you had the technology to do it, I still think we ought to keep the chains for the next 6,000 years just because we've had them and everybody's used to it.
I agree with you that I don't want to see the chain gang go away either, even if you do have the chip. And I suppose at the end of the day, you could have the chip deciding on touchdowns at the goal line if they set up the rest of the field that way. Rick Horro is the professor. We talk about the business of sports with him. T-Mobile Arena currently showcasing the NBA's Summer League and Team USA, but soon the arena is going to be squarely focused on Las Vegas' very first ever major pro sports franchise. Could this become one of the league's top draws, Las Vegas, right away, with people coming from all over the country to see their team play in Vegas?
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting way to look at it, because I'm not sure that casinos like the idea of 40-some-odd home days every year taking people away from gambling. They say they do. We'll see long-term. Obviously, the first Major League Professional pro sports franchise in Vegas, and it was done in large part to capture the market and also beat the Raiders in, if the Raiders ever were going to go in. And an idea of it's a mega event town, but is it a regular, sustaining, corporately supported NBA or NHL town? Well, we're going to have to see.
Up next, I want to talk about the power of the swoosh. The United States Olympic basketball team has taken its official team picture, and only the Nike swooshes are visible in the picture. As a matter of fact, you've even got some of the players bending in kind of funny poses or stuff like that to cover up some of the logos. Did Nike buy the rights to the photo?
Yeah, well, look very carefully. No, but look very carefully. You'll see, if you want a conspiracy theory, you've got Kyle Lowry and Harrison Barnes with the Adidas brands. You've got Klay Thompson with Anta, the Chinese brand. You've got the Nike guys trying to protect the Nike logo. Obviously, Nike, not a good year for their superstar men's basketball players going down to Rio. LeBron, Blake Griffin, Russell Westbrook, Kobe Bryant, all Nike, but none of them going to Rio. And so, listen, everybody could say there's a conspiracy there, or maybe somebody's just bending over because they had a bad back at the end of the first hit. But it is interesting how much money the sneaker war generates. And you don't even know how much this was done in jest or not, but I will tell you that it's really good for the industry, A, to talk about this stuff, but B, with all of the companies competing against each other, more money for teams, players, even agents, God forbid.
Yeah, God forbid we'd give them any more money. Following in the footsteps of the other Power Five conferences, the ACC is finally set to launch its own network. I got to imagine this is a hit. The minute they put it on the air and the ad prices probably won't be cheap either, right?
Well, in the ACC, and obviously when ESPN does things, they think about it just like NBC and everybody else. Mm-hmm. But they thought through how powerful the ACC is now on the football side. You know, Florida State used to be, now it's Clemson and everybody else. But they extended a deal. They'll go through a 20-year rights extension deal through 2036. Now, I don't know about you, but I just want to be standing 2036. So the 24-hour digital and then linear kind of revenue-sharing agreement that accounts for about 95% of overall revenue between the ACC teams based on the SEC model. So get ready for another major network to coincide with these successful other networks surrounding conferences.
Rick Horro is with us. We talked the business of sports with the professor, and I found something absolutely fascinating in the Horro Sports Brief this week, and that's Under Armour being one step closer to having a new headquarters in its hometown. It looks like UA has purchased the land in Baltimore where it plans to build a $70 million headquarters. This includes at the Port Covington waterfront site about 50 acres, including 8 acres that are currently underwater. What in the world are they building, and what are they going to do with the underwater part?
Well, they'll equip divers with sneakers. No, obviously, they'll have to figure out how to take advantage of that. But listen, knowing Kevin Plank, he will. His private real estate firm paid back the dollars that were originally used for this. It's about 3.5 million, 4 million square feet in total. It's a $70 million, we said, headquarters. It would be the gateway to Baltimore and Under Armour, and you're generating big time dollars for the city as a tourist attraction, as well as the headquarters of a major apparel firm. Kudos to Kevin Plank and kudos to Under Armour, and we'll figure out what they do with the underwater property. You know, the old line of selling underwater property in Florida to you. Well, I wouldn't mind this, Pete, because you know he's going to do something good with it.
It's got to be a bridge for sale in there somewhere as well. Let me ask you this question. I'm going off the sports brief here, but I'm looking at DeAndre Hopkins, and this guy has got the same deal basically that J.J. Watt had. 4-year deal as a rookie. The team loves J.J. After 2 years, they tear up the other 2 years, give him a new deal. Along comes DeAndre Hopkins, same thing. Rookie deal, 4 years, first 2 years are stellar. Should they pay him or let him sit?
I think they probably ought to let him sit if frankly, he makes the noises that contracts are to be ignored. There's a lot of reasons why a team does what they did. It's not just because they're altruistic. They want to protect the guy and lock him up long term, and that's the trade-off.
But and that's what they need.
It's a business deal.
Yeah.
It's a business deal.
Thanks, Rick. We'll talk to you next week.
See you next week.
Non-stop pedal to the metal game. That's what you get around here. NBC Sports Radio, NBCSportsRadio.com. I'm Jim Daniels here every Sunday morning. This is Speaking of Sports. We like to shove aside the box score a little bit and talk about some of the individuals and stories that are making news and headlines in the world of sport. Show is brought to you by Bank of America this morning. Want cash back at Costco, Sam's Club, and BJ's today? Use your Bank of America Card Cash Rewards Visa credit card and earn 2% cash back at wholesale clubs. Earn more at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Spent the weekend last week in Lake Tahoe for the American Century Championship. It's always a lot of fun. We've shared a lot of interviews with you this morning. We've had Nota Begay and Wes Welker and Blake Bortles and Joe Theismann and Carson Palmer and Marshall Faulk and on and on and on. But I saved a couple of guys that I wanted to put into the program this morning, and speaking of sports, that would speak specifically to the loss of a pretty big, pretty large figure in the National Football League. Dennis Green is a guy that other coaches admired and players loved, even players that didn't play for him. Carson Palmer said, you know, it's a guy that I really wanted to play for, wished I'd had the opportunity to play for. So we bring in a couple of coaches now. Again, this is from our treasure trove in Lake Tahoe last weekend, and talking at least a little bit about Dennis Green. First up, it'll be Herman Edwards, followed by Marvin Lewis on Speaking of Sports this morning. Herman Edwards going to join us now. Let me tell you, when you talk about celebrity events, is this the top of the card? I mean, when you talk about the golf course, the scenery, and the guys that you're teamed up with, is this one of the great events you look forward to every year?
Well, it really is. And I have the opportunity, and I'm fortunate enough and blessed enough to be invited to this one. And there's numerous other ones I actually play in. But this is the one I think all the players, former players, players that are playing right now in all sports look forward to competing in. And obviously, when you look at the leaderboard, there's probably 15 guys every year that have an opportunity to win this thing. And the rest of us, we're just playing and having fun.
I want to talk about the complexity of this game, but I want to put it in relation to football, because you know football at a very high level as a player, as a coach, as an analyst. Now talk about golf. Go from one to the other. Now, football playbook, that's thick. There's a lot to understand, a lot to absorb just from the offensive side of that thing. But what about the complexity of golf? All the clubs, the wind, the speed, all that kind of stuff. This is not an easy game, is it?
No, it's a very difficult game because of the fact that you have to have rhythm, and you have to repeat your swing. And between hitting a good ball and a bad ball is inches. And that's what you realize about this game. And every day's different. That's what makes golf so unique. You know, when you think you got to figure it out, you go back the next day, you don't have it figured out. And I think that's the mental challenge of the game. And, you know, I like it for this reason. Not so much my score. It's the people you play with. That's probably the most important thing when you play golf. Enjoy the walk. I mean, really enjoy the walk. I mean, I don't worry about the score. The score is a score. It's the people that you get in contact with, people that you meet on a golf course.
Would you say it's a little bit like the camaraderie that you have with a team, because you have a special relationship with your players, whether you're your other teammates or whether you're coaching them? But it's kind of the same thing. It's a chance for you to kind of walk down the fairway again and have that same kind of camaraderie, because you guys are all at a special club together.
Well, yeah, but more than anything else, it's not so much with the players, because you know the players' mindsets. We're all very competitive. That doesn't stop. Regardless if you're a retired player or you're playing now, it's more of the people that you play with before you play with the celebrities. You find out a lot about people in a six-hour round of golf. You find out a lot about them. I mean, a whole lot about a person. And I think that's a good thing, because when you spend that much time, you walk away with going, you know what, good guy, I'd love to play with him again, or guess what, probably won't play with that guy again.
Herman Edwards is our guest. I want to talk about, because you're a unique individual when it comes to the game of football, having been a player, having been a coach, having been the analyst. So you've looked at the game through the different prisms or the different angles of the prism. We've got a couple of young guys coming into the NFL that are running into a little bit of trouble. They're in the news this weekend, running backs for the Pittsburgh Steelers as well as the Dallas Cowboys. We don't need to get into that. What I want to ask you about is, what do we got to do to get the message to these young guys, to make them understand how small the window of opportunity is and how much they need to focus on what they're doing? You can't screw up. You got to stay off of Twitter. You got to stay away from riding around in the car smoking weed and stuff. How do you get through to these young guys to tell them, you know, the window, the ride is short and you got to take advantage now?
Well, I've always said this in life, there's a couple scenarios you look at. It's, are you a good listener or do you just hear me? And most people don't listen. They just hear. And history is either good or bad, depending on what side you fall on. I've always said this. If it's bad history, it's like the fool. Who's the fool? The fool or the fool that follows the fool? And more than many, most guys get it right. They really do. They get it right. There's always people, not just in football, in life, that miss opportunities. And that's what life's really about. It's really about opportunities. And when you miss them, you don't know if you're going to get a second chance.
There's a lot of talk about professional sports in Las Vegas. We're seeing an NHL franchise is going to go there. A lot of talk about the Raiders going there. Do you think Las Vegas has the, I don't want distraction factor that it used to? Because you can gamble now on your phone if you want FanDuel or something like that. Or maybe the, I don't know if that's gambling necessarily or if that's really skill or not. But do you think that Vegas has the big negative connotation to it that it used to have?
No, I don't think so. I think we're well beyond that. We know that there's betting involved in football, and it has always been betting in football, in all sports. We understand that wagers are wagers. I think it would be a great venue. It would be a unique city to have a pro football team in. I think they would support it. It would be a town of a lot of entertainment, as it already is, and now you have a football team. So I just think that eventually I think it might happen, and good for the Raiders. And I would prefer the Raiders stay in Oakland. I grew up a Raider fan. I'm a West Coast guy. But I understand. I understand what they're going through. When you walk through that stadium, you get it. That stadium's been there a long time, and they need a new place to play.
All right, you're walking out here to the driving range. You're going to sharpen up the game a little bit, get ready for the Sunday round. What's your go-to club? Is it the putter? Is it drive for show? Is it your irons? What's your go-to?
I've got a little rescue club's pretty good for me. You know, yeah. That's my go-to one. So I kind of hit it when I'm struggling with my irons, I hit that one. But, you know, this tournament is bigger than the golf. It's really what American Century does with the money that they receive and all the proceeds that go to cancer research. That's the winner here. It's not the guy that'll hold up the trophy on Sunday. It's really all the millions of people that American Century, as well as NBC putting it on television, the money it generates and the people that come out. And the money, a lot of that money goes to cancer research, and they're trying to find a cure. And that's the big winner at the end of the day.
Last question I want to ask, and it's kind of stinging a lot of people this weekend. We lost Dennis Green within just the last few hours. And, you know, you look at the success record with this guy. But you know what? It's not about the numbers with Denny Green. It's not about what he did in the first years, how many wins, you know, the getting into the playoffs right out of the way. It's about the way that he connected with people. Because every single player, every person you talk to that knew Dennis Green said that, you know, he was just such a special individual. I mean, we've really lost a great one in the NFL this week, haven't we?
Well, it's like you say, it stretches further than the NFL. He was a man of great integrity. And I know Denny personally, his wife, his family. He was a mentor for me, a mentor for a lot of young coaches. And he was a guy that you could always go to when you had an issue, you know, because he had the wisdom. He's going to be missed by players, not only that play football, but players that he's touched in his life in college. Wherever he's been, he's had the ability to touch people and make a difference. And that's what life is really about. It's not about so much making a living. It's about, did you make a difference with tomorrow in mind? And Denny had done that his whole life. He was about making a difference and giving opportunities and building men. And that's very important. And that's why he is so endeared, and that's why he's going to be truly missed.
A great player, a special coach, and a guy who really makes a difference. Herman Edwards, thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
We've got the opportunity now to talk to Marvin Lewis, coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. And, of course, one of the big stories that's been buzzing around the tournament here, unfortunately, has been of a sad note, the passing of Dennis Green. Coach, thanks for spending a couple of minutes with us here to talk just a little bit about Dennis Green, what he meant to the NFL.
Well, it's a very, very sad day. And, Denny is a coach, a person, a man, was a trailblazer, and it's just disappointing. Somebody that I got to know back, you know, early in coaching in like 86, 87. So it was a shock and really devastating. And, you know, our prayers go out to his family.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the game of football here. We just spoke with Carson Palmer not too long ago. It's so much about the NFL. It's so much about the pieces that you have and then how you get to assemble them. That puzzle changes for you every year. How difficult is it for you to adjust every year when the players move around so much as they do in the modern game?
Well, you know, actually, players don't move as much as you think they move. But, but that's part of it. You know, each football team you put together is a new team. And as a new identity, and that's what you have to do. Otherwise, you're going to get left behind. So you have to go in every season. You have to develop your chemistry. You have to develop who you are and what you do and go through it by that way. And you morph into different things as the season goes on.
Seems like running back by committee is a pretty popular thing to do. And it seems like a smart thing to do, too, because if you put all of your eggs in one basket, like an Arian Foster kind of guy who means so much to a team, then he goes down, you're really kind of left in the lurch here. Is this really the best way to go? And you've got that going in Cincinnati.
Well, I think it's a physical game. There's a lot of, opportunity to get guys the ball in different areas, different situations, and so forth. And I think it's a long season. It's difficult for one guy to carry that load the entire way.
What do you think about computer chips in the football? What are they doing with that?
Well, it's something that we've experimented, you know, with through the competition committee for a while without you guys knowing about it. So, there's been no pushback. People really don't know it's in there. The first models of this, there was a little bit that way, but now they've got it down. So, it'll be, you know, some neat things for television at some point.
Speaking of television, are they going to go with more cameras? They keep talking about putting more and more cameras on the field. The goal line camera, the back end line camera. Do you think we need more cameras in the game?
Well, there's certain games that have more cameras than others based on the coverage and the network covering the game and so forth. So, but I don't know, that's far above my pay grade to decide that. So we'll leave that up to the TV and networks.
I'll give you an easier question then. How's the golf game here in South Lake Tahoe?
Yesterday was a challenge.
And
it was cool though. It's what an event. Well done. Well put on. Great camaraderie here with the players, the fans. It's just a lot of fun. I see why people come here really enjoy it.
Class guy, thanks for spending time with
us,
Coach. Really appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Take care.
You know, one of the things that you want to make sure doesn't get overlooked in all this, because American Century does do a tremendous job and everyone has a really great time. But you know what? At the end of the day, as Herman Edwards was pointing out, they're raising money for cancer research. And I think that's something that touches every single one of us in one way or another, a friend, a coworker, a family member, a neighbor, somebody. It's just seems to be all over the place in our society, and anybody that's doing anything to help find a cure for cancer, we're certainly all of us on board. So our thanks to American Century for not only putting on a great event, but also doing something about, fighting one of the nastiest things out there that we as human beings have to endure and battle in day-to-day life, and that's the big C. So thanks and a big tip of the cap to American Century for a wonderful job well done here last weekend in South Lake Tahoe. Coming up next, we'll talk to Pete Fox. It's NBC Sports Radio, NBC Sports Radio's mobile app.